Joining us once again from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Hello from Washington, David.
Thank you, Sonny. From a very chilly Johannesburg, it's May and winter is coming very hard and fast on us here in South Africa.
David, big weekend of qualifying action in Africa for next year's Nations Cup tournament in Morocco. More than a dozen fixtures played across the continent. First off, David, how about the results?
Right, Sonny. Liberia won, Lesotho nil. Kenya won, Comoros Islands nil. Madagascar 2, Uganda 1. Libya nil, Rwanda nil. Burundi nil, Botswana nil. Central African Republic nil, Guinea-Bissau nil. Swaziland 1, Sierra Leone 1. Tanzania 1, Zimbabwe nil. Mozambique 5, South Sudan nil. Mauritania 1, Equatorial Guinea nil. Namibia 1, Congo Brazzaville nil. Sao Tome e Principe nil, Benin 2. And Malawi 2, Chad nil. A reminder, second legs, May 30, 31, and June 1. And the Seychelles received a walkover because Gambia have been barred from all CAF competitions for 2 years over age cheating.
Looking back at those results, David, what were the highlights for you?
Highlights, Sonny, and lowlights. Let me look at the lowlights first. A really disappointing number of goals. They were extremely scarce. Only 19 in 13 matches. That's an average of less than 1.5 a game. So those strikers need to sharpen up their boots. Maybe make a few phone calls quickly to Cristiano Ronaldo and get some advice. It's funny, isn't it, Sonny? You watch him on TV, he just makes it look so simple, so easy. And yet here we are in Africa, 13 African Cup of Nations qualifiers. I'd be looking for an average of about 2.5 to 3 goals a game. That's like 40 goals. But no, just 19. And of those 19, 5 came from Mozambique. Now, South Sudan, the newest nation in the world, they were making their Cup of Nations debut, but I'm afraid it was not one to remember. The Mozambicans were 3-0 up at halftime and eventually emerged 5-goal victors. For the record, Josimar, Mexer, Sonito with a brace, and Isaac were the Mozambique scorers. The big surprise, Sonny, came in Mahajanga, not a place we regularly mention on the sunny side of sport. That's a city in the north of Madagascar. It hosted Madagascar against Uganda. Now, Uganda are placed 18th in Africa on the FIFA rankings, and Madagascar are 50. And by my mathematics, that's a difference of 32 places. That's a huge gap. So I think it would be reasonable to assume that Uganda, even playing away, would win or at least draw. But the Malagasies had other ideas. Sonny, they scored 2 goals within the first 24 minutes. And I've got the names here in front of me, and I'm rather reluctant to try and pronounce them. They are so long. But let me try. The first one is Andriac Sima. I think I've got that one reasonably correct. The second one is a challenge. It's Andriam at Sinoro. Apologies to all our listeners in Madagascar if I haven't quite got those names right. Anyway, they scored. Madagascar missed a great chance to go 3 up midway through the second half. They missed a penalty kick. And then it was a penalty in stoppage time converted by Kiza for the Ugandan Cranes that made the final score 2-1. And my feeling, Sonny, is that that goal could well be crucial over the two legs. Remember, these matches are home and away. Uganda will host the second leg in 2 weeks' time. And a 1-0 victory for the Cranes at home would see them through on the away goal rule, although I'm sure their coach, Milutin Sredovic, a Serbian, he will want a much more convincing performance and a much bigger victory. But well done, Madagascar. I was speaking to the reporter who's at the match, and I was saying to him, Sonny, that what a wonderful story. It's been so long. It's such a rare occurrence. Madagascar have been going through some torrid times of late when it comes to international football. So well done to the Berea, as the national team are known. The Berea are a prized breed of cattle in Madagascar. I'm not sure quite what the connection between the cattle and the national team is, but that's what they're known as, and they've won by 2-1 against Uganda. Kenya, Sonny, I thought would beat the Comore Islands with several goals to spare. If you put a gun to my head, figuratively speaking, of course, I would have said maybe 3-0 for Kenya, but the Comore Islands did very well. They restricted Kenya to a 1-goal victory in Nairobi, a goal from John Omolo after 34 minutes. And that means that Kenya have got a tough task ahead. They've got to go to Moroni on the Comore Islands, which are off the east coast of Africa, off Mozambique to be more precise. And what I would have thought would be a fairly routine visit by the Kenyan Harambee Stars now looks like it's going to be a potential battle for survival. Another 1-0 win was by Liberia against Lesotho in Monrovia. Now, I know, Sonny, that your show has a big listenership in Liberia, in the heart of West Africa. And I say hi and good luck to the Lone Stars of Liberia. The goal coming from Anthony Lafour after 40 minutes. He is a player I know well. He plays for the South African champions Mamelodi Sundowns. So 1-0 to Liberia, and of course, like Kenya, they've obviously got some work to do. Yet another surprise, Sonny, in Tunisia, Libya 0, Rwanda 0. Now, Libya are ranked 12th in Africa, and Rwanda only 39th. So even though Libya had to forfeit home advantage because of the unrest in the country, and they played a match instead in Tunis, the Tunisian capital, I think it was fair to assume that the Libyans would prove too strong, remembering that this is the team that won the African Nations Championship just a few months ago. But we must salute Rwanda. They held firm, forced a goalless draw. They now will obviously fancy their chances in Kigali in the second leg. But another East African team that are in a less favourable position are Burundi. They were held 0-0 in Bujumbura by Botswana, who must now be favourites to win the return match. Another draw, Sonny, and also goalless, was Central African Republic against Guinea-Bissau. Now, Central African Republic in the same unfortunate position as the Libyans. Civil unrest in the country, so they could not use home advantage and had to play that match in the Congolese capital, Brazzaville. Swaziland were rocked at home by an early goal for Sierra Leone, but Shongwe equalised in the second half. Boko scored after 13 minutes to give Tanzania a 1-0 victory in Dar es Salaam over Zimbabwe. And the side, Sonny, we keep telling our listeners to watch out for Mauritania. They've won again, third victory in a row, remembering they beat Mauritius in the first round. Diakite, after 76 minutes, giving them a 1-0 victory over Equatorial Guinea. Another 1-0 home win was achieved by Namibia. Rudolf Bester scoring in the final minute to beat Congo Brazzaville 1-0 at the Sam Nujoma Stadium in Windhoek. A good away win for Benin. Sao Tome and Principe have proved tough customers in the previous qualifying tournament. But 2 goals from Sessing Nong, that's the Benin midfielder who plays for West Bromwich Albion in the English Premier League. He scored after 80 and again after 90 minutes, this time from the penalty spot. So I think it's safe to assume that Benin will qualify. And if they do qualify, Sonny, they will face either Malawi or Chad. And 2 goals from Frank Mwango, one after 5 minutes and the other after 84, gave the Malawian Flames a 2-goal victory in Blantyre before a capacity crowd at the Kamuzu Stadium.
David, earlier you were talking about Madagascar, and I remember last year during the Cup of Nations,
Voice of America,
you told our Voice of America listeners about another island team, Cape Verde, and how some of that team was made up of European-based players. How would you describe the makeup of Madagascar?
It's largely local, Sonny, but they do have some players in the lower leagues in France. And this is the big if they have the cash available, they will fly those players back. But, you know, Madagascar used to be quite a tough nut to crack at home. They've always struggled away. One of the problems with the Malagasy footballers are physically they're very small, they're very light, and the big powerhouses, the likes of the Nigerians and the Ghanaians and the Ivorians in West Africa, we tend to literally shove them out of the way. But on this occasion, Sonny, yeah, a great result to beat Uganda 2-1. And that puts quite a bit of pressure on the Ugandans. They didn't go as far as they hoped at the African Nations Championship in South Africa last January. They were eliminated in the first round, whereas I think the very least they expected was a quarterfinals place. And were they to fail against Madagascar over the two legs, then I think Shredovich would have to polish his CV, update it, get a couple of printouts done without any of the Ugandan football officials seeing him, and spread the word around that he might be available elsewhere. Uganda, Sonny, I think their bottom line would be to qualify for the group stage, nothing less. And that means beating Madagascar and then beating the winners between Mauritania and Equatorial Guinea. I think anything less than a group place, and the Ugandans would be very unhappy. They are desperate, Sonny, to get to the Cup of Nations. The last time they qualified was way back in 1978, when, to their credit, they reached the final and they lost 2-0 to the host nation, Ghana. But that's an awful long time ago, 1978. They're a proud nation, they love their football, but they just can't seem to crack reaching the finals of the Cup of Nations. And the last thing they want now is to be eliminated by Madagascar.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. VOA! I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports. Back to Yahias Wuhib.
Thank you, Sonny, and listen to the Sunny Side of Sports Monday through Friday at 16:31 UTC and 18:31 UTC. And on Friday, Sonny has an expanded half-hour edition of the